I'd like to welcome you to the ministry of McCormick's Creek Church. We certainly hope that you will enjoy this selection.
Praise the Lord, everybody. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. It's good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. Amen. Aren't you glad to be here? Amen. Real quick announcement. Sister Stephanie. I see her. I can't always see you with my glasses on. These glasses are for reading. I can read, see well up close, but I just can't see. June 20th, from 4 to 7 at the Fellowship Hall, we're going to have a celebration of life, and they're having a dinner for Brother Zane. And I want to invite everybody. This is going to, it's a bittersweet time. Speaking of that, keep our family in your prayers. I think it was 12. Did you say 12:36? 12:36 tonight was my mother. She breathed her last breath. 12:36. The 18th of June will be 1 year that my mother has went away to be with Jesus. Zane is with Jesus. I told my brother-in-law today, I said, it's been a year, it's been a nightmare year for us, but it's just been a fraction of eternal bliss for Mom, for Zane, for Sister Dean, for all these amazing, for Brother Owen, all these wonderful men and women of God that's went on. I tell you what, one day, that eastern sky is going to split, and that trumpet is going to sound, and we're going to get to see Jesus and everybody, the ones that have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. That's going to be an amazing. I don't think we talk about that enough. I don't think we discuss that enough. I think we should actually preach on that more and talk about that more. That's going to be an exciting time. But anyway, be looking forward to that. And I know Sister Stephanie would be, I call her Stacy. Someone put Stephanie on here. I'm sorry. Stacy, Stephanie. What do you prefer? What's your mom call you when you're in trouble? Oh, okay. Yeah. Well. What's the Lord say to you when you lie? What does He call you? Stacy. Well, if I didn't like her, I wouldn't give her such a hard time. I love her, and she's just a wonderful person. I mean that with all my heart. No sarcasm here. I promise you, I'm not sarcastic. You may be seated in Jesus' name. I had been praying and seeking the will of the Lord for tonight. And I was conflicted because I felt the Lord speaking to my spirit and to talk about healing. And it seems contrary because we pray for people. And we pray for some, and some people get healed. We see miracles and we see healings, and then some people don't get better, and we've had to bury wonderful men and women of God, and it's conflicting because I know that He is a healer, and it's hard sometimes in the flesh. It's why I got to pray through my flesh to get up here and tell you that beyond the shadow of a doubt that Jesus Christ is a healer. Despite the ones that He hasn't. And when we start questioning those things, we get frustrated, and sometimes it's easy to grow bitter and angry to God and ask Him why. Why? But I tell you tonight, God is a sovereign God. He doesn't need any help being God. I love you, but I don't want to hurt your feelings. But He doesn't need your input. And He doesn't need your advice. He doesn't need you to control him. I'll tell you why he doesn't. He doesn't need our advice because we're limited by our knowledge, because we're limited in our knowing what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. He knows, because he's already been in my tomorrow. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, which is and which was the Almighty. So he's already been there and he understands it. So he knows and understands what we need. And sometimes he doesn't heal when we think he should heal. Speaking of that, I got a call today and I was in my office and I was praying about what I about this, and God had already laid it on my heart. And I hope I don't get in trouble for letting the cat out of the bag. And I'm going to ask you, please don't flood her with phone calls. If you feel really led to do so, Sister Sheese texted me today. Her daughter had went in for a surgery on her brain, and they got whatever they got. And then she called me today and said the doctor called her and said that she has the worst cancer that you can have, and they gave her 6 months to live. And so I was thinking, well, okay, what am I supposed to do? And I felt the Lord speak to me, and he said, look, do you know that I'm a healer, or are you just gambling the fact 50-50 that I am a healer? And this is the way I have to look at it, Dad. This is the way I have to look at it, Brother Dean. This is the way I got to look at it, Sister Roland. This is the way I got to look at it, Sister Stacy, and others that have lost people. Here's what I do know, that when somebody that has been blood bought and washed in the precious blood of Jesus, when they do die, they get the ultimate healing. And the fact is that as much as Brother Roland loves you, Sister Roland, and as much as your son loved you, as much as my mom loved me and all the others that went on to love their family and the church family, if we could get on the phone and say, we want you to come back. They would say, look, you're crazy. I'm telling you right now that heaven is beyond anything. Jesus went away to prepare a place for us. Matter of fact, he was so good that he went on to say that eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither has it entered the heart of man what Jesus has prepared for us. It's beyond us. We can't even imagine it. It's things that, matter of fact, when I teach or preach on heaven, I can't really tell you what's going to be there. All I can tell you what's not going to be there, and there's not going to be any more sickness, no more death, for the former things are passed away, and every tear that you've ever cried is going to be wiped away, and you're not going to ever remember it no more. So the people that haven't received their healing on this earth, just know this, that they got their ultimate healing in heaven. You can say, well, that's an easy way out. That's an excuse from God. But I'm going to tell you, sometimes I do not understand. I don't get it. I don't understand the times that Jesus does it at his time. I do know that there was a story in the Bible when James and John was walking by to the temple, and the man that said, asked him for alms, and James and John said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I had, give I thee, rise up and walk. I do know this. Let me give you a couple thoughts about this. I've often asked myself, Brother Krause, as to why him knowing that he was laid there at the gate every single day, and knowing that Jesus, I don't have any Bible, I don't have any scripture for this, but it was the same gate that Jesus passed by over and over and over and over. And I'm quite certain that man, that he passed that man, and Jesus knew exactly what his issues was. But the fact is, Jesus went to the cross and was buried and resurrected, and while all that went on, that man still was lame. And I've asked myself, why in the world didn't Jesus do it? I don't know, but I like to believe, and I'm not adding to scripture, but I like to believe that Jesus said, you know what? The right people aren't around to see this miracle. Oh, certainly I can do that. And they'll say, well, Jesus, you can do anything. But what about my people? I think he just waited
And he didn't heal that man because it wasn't the right time. Well, after that, James and John ended up taking part in that miracle. And sometimes God says no, not because he doesn't want to do it or not because he's not going to do it. But I believe sometimes it's not the right time. And I believe that God is a God of perfect time. He's an on-time God. Amen. You can clap to that. Even though it doesn't fit your schedule, doesn't mean he's not going to do it. Matter of fact, when they did pray for him, they said, "Silver and gold have none, such as I give I thee. Rise up and walk in the name of Jesus Christ." He didn't get up right off. That's another thing that blows my mind. He didn't get up right off, and I think that. I do know that faith without works is dead, but I'm not pretty sure I do know that in that scripture, James and John had to grab that dude by the hand and force him to get up. I remember being in services when Corky was in that wheelchair. Not Brother Barnes, but the Canadian. You know who I'm talking about, Brother Brad. Brother Buster. He was at our church, and I remember them praying for a boy that had never walked before. He was completely lame in his legs. He was in a wheelchair, and he had never walked. He had never gotten out. And I remember them praying for him, and he didn't get up. And I remember as a kid, I may have been young, but I'm not dumb. But as a kid, I kept thinking, in my mind, carnal flesh, well, he's not going to get up. But I do remember them saying, you know what? We're going to put some faith without works is dead. And they begin to pull him out of that chair. And he stood up for the first time in his life. And that right there, it taught me something. Sometimes God only meets us halfway. Just like he did Lazarus when he raised Lazarus from the dead. You know, Jesus, he done his job, but he had to tell them, you're the one that has to move the stone. I'll do the raising. I'll resurrect, but you're going to have to move the stone. And matter of fact, you're going to have to remove the grave clothes. And sometimes there's things that we have to do in the carnal side of things, and God will do his part if we do our part. And what I'm trying to say is, it's time, if we want to see the miraculous, we've got to speak out with our mouth. Very good. Very good. Say, well, what if it's not the will of God? You know what? It's not us to decide that. He gave us the power to lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. I'll say it again. You shall lay hands. This is after you receive the Holy Ghost. You shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. We have that power. No, you don't have to be a licensed preacher. You don't have to be standing in a podium at all. Sister Roxanne, I don't ever know that she's ever preached a day in her life. But I do know that Jesus has given her the power and gift of healing. That she has prayed for people in her past, and very recently, that the Lord has healed of cancer. And there's many of you that have had that happen to you, maybe once or twice or more than that. But hear me, when we start stirring up the gifts that are in us, then that's when it starts working. I remember hearing Brother Billy Cole. He said that the Lord, he had a lady in his church. I think it was his father was the pastor and he was the associate pastor. And there was a lady in his church. She had a bunch of kids and she was their only meal ticket. She was the breadwinner in their family. Well, she got sick. The doctor said she was going to die. And he said, I drove over there, and he said, on my way there, He said, I knew that the Lord said, I'm going to heal her. He said, but by the time I got there, he said, I walked through the door, and he said, the doctor walked out and looked at him in a sarcastic tone of voice, said, you're too late, preacher. Why in the world are you even here? She's already gone. He said, he walked in there, and her 18-year-old daughter hit her knees, and she began to cry and wail, and she was weeping. And he said, it's what he said. He was so simple. I mean, if you're expecting, educated prayer or whatever, you're going to miss it. But Billy Cole, he was as straight as an arrow, and he didn't mince words. He just prayed. He was like a bull in a china shop, and he just went in there. He said, lie. He said, I felt that the Lord said he was going to raise her up. He said, look, imagine this. Her mom has been dead for a while. Doctors walked in there and said, she's dead. She's gone. There's no hope. I don't know why you're here, because you're too late. Billy Cole said, she's on the floor crying. He said, well, do you still want me to pray for her? I need you to hear. I mean, right then, it's not funny. It's a little funny here. Her mom's dead. Do you still want me to pray that God heals her? What do you mean, Brother Cole? You want me to pray that God heals her? She's dead. God can't heal her. Hear me. Just like Jesus said, she's not dead. She's just asleep. It's not impossible, right? So she said, I do. Please, I want you to pray for mom. He began to pray for her. Hear me. This blows my mind. I called a minister today and asked him about it. And I said, what do you think about this? And, it was my pastor. I was FaceTime. I said, how many times have we prayed one time and it didn't happen? So Billy Cole prayed. He said, I prayed authoritative. He said, I rebuked death in Jesus' name. He said, and she sat there, nothing. Now, what's the normal response to when you pray? If you prayed for somebody that was dead and you prayed for them and it didn't happen, most of the time, what would you do? That was a couple. What'd you say? Just quit. It's not the will of God. I mean, what do you do? I mean, you can't do anything. There's nothing else you can do. Billy Cole said, his dad said, when you pray, son, he said, I want you to pray loud. That's what he said. As if God moves when you pray louder. But what he was really saying is, son, you've got to have authority in your prayer. So he said, the second time I prayed louder, sit there and waited, still dead. He said, I got frustrated. I got mad. He said, I was so surprised. This is what he said. I was so surprised that she didn't get up. Now, the problem in Pentecost is that we're surprised when they do get up. I'll say that one more time in case he was surprised that she didn't get up. We're surprised when they do get up. Are you kidding me? God did that? Are you serious? That means that we have a lacking in faith that God can do it. When you're surprised when God does a miracle or a healing, it's because you lack faith. We should be surprised when they don't get healed. We should be surprised when they don't get saved. So he said, I walked over the wall, and he said, I was mad. Stan, you can listen to this story. I'm telling you verbatim. He walks over the wall, and he was mad. He said, Sister Smith, he's like, I said, get up in Jesus' name. She got up. The first thing she said is, how's your wife doing? Also, I need you to bring me something to eat. He said, the next day I baptized 16 people in the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and 16 people received the baptism. Listen to me. I'm telling you that because it's God, if God doesn't heal more, it's because we, the conduits, lack the faith and lack the prayers to pray it. I know I've told you the same stories over and over, but I can only preach what I've seen and what I've heard, just like Paul said. I've seen two at least two people in my ministry, two people that was pronounced dead. One in church, I told you that story, and the other one was in the hospital that he had been dead for 3 solid days. And God resurrected them. It didn't happen every time. But that does not negate the fact that we should still pray and still have faith in God. We shouldn't. What we have done in Pentecost is we have lost gifts because we have fail to exercise gifts and miracle signs and wonders. Here, it's not that we lost faith in God because we know God can. Well, many times we lack faith and trust in us and we think, how in the world can God use us? Let me tell you something. If God can use Peter, which was a failure, he denied Jesus 3 times. He was worthless. He cursed Jesus. He had all kinds of problems and issues. One day he's walking on water and the next day he's cutting off the ear of the servant of the high priest. The next day he's denying Jesus Christ. His name meant Simon, which meant reed, which meant he vacillated. Every time the conditions changed, he would change. And if Jesus can use Peter to heal the sick, he can use you. My grandpa Hill, 3rd grade education. Told you many stories about him. Laid hands on the sick. There are I don't know how many men and women that he's prayed for that was dead and received their came back alive. I can't tell you endless people that had cancers that God healed them. Cancers falling off. I can't tell you the blinded eyes that were opened because of his authority and his obedience. I can't tell you how many deaf ears that I have seen of friends of mine. I was in the park, Brother Pastor Luke St. Clair, a dear friend of mine, was in the park, and there was a known lady in the town of Anderson. And people knew her because she was blind, almost blind in one eye and completely blind in the other eye. Everybody knew her. Matter of fact, she was known kind of like the Bible talked about blind Bartimaeus. People knew her. Kind of, it would become I don't know. I think at one time she'd have her driver's license and it was a little bit dangerous. I'm not trying to make a joke. Forgive me, Brother Stanley. I'm not making light of it. But people, you know, she had had her license and people knew this woman was blind. And in front of the whole town, I'm not joking. I showed up there. I forgot. It was Pastor Ronnie Elliott was with me. We showed up there and I'm standing. There's like 3,000 people. No joke. 3,000 people at this block party at the park, a park in Anderson. You remember that big thing they put together? It was about 11 or 12 years ago. It was a big deal. They baptized over 120 people in a horse trough because of this lady's receiving her sight. But I was blown away. I walked up and Pastor St. Clair, he's got this lady on the stage in front of the town of Anderson. Now, imagine the guts. Now, see, if you swing and miss in front of the church isn't going to go out and say, well, our pastor doesn't pray good. Some of you may. Most of you won't. You'd say, well, just it wasn't the will of God. You just keep that. Shh. I mean, he had him in front of the whole town. I mean, people in Anderson, I do know there was about 3,000 people in the town that was in that park. And I'm sure with Facebook and everything else, it would have been noted that St. Clair prayed for a woman and it didn't work. He had her up there. And he said, listen, he said, God is getting ready to heal this woman. I was like, oh, come on, most of y'all been the same way. You thought in your mind, what if it doesn't work? What if he doesn't? What if he does? If he doesn't, it's going to make the church look bad. If he doesn't, he's going to look dumb. If he doesn't, what? You know what the problem is? And I got this from Brother Arnold. He said, we're too image conscious. Are we afraid that God's going to look bad? Or are we afraid we're going? Are we afraid that we're going to look silly? Are we afraid that God's going to look silly? Listen, God's in charge. And I'm getting ready to read the scripture here to show you that he is in charge. But he had that woman cover up her good eye. And he said, when I pray right now in Jesus' name, God's going to heal you. I'm telling you what, it wasn't 3 seconds. That woman jumped off of that podium and she started walking around saying, I can read. And I'm quite certain there was a lot of people in that place that thought it was a big sham. It was a lie. They knew she was blind. They knew what eye she was blind in. And she began to cover her eyes. She began to walk around reading people's shirts. Reebok, Nike, Town of Anderson. She covered it. That place come unglued. And I'm telling you what, the Holy Ghost fell in that place. And there were hundreds in that day that came to the altar. There was like 120, 130 people that was baptized in Jesus' name. Listen to me. We have got to forget about ourselves and stop being self-absorbed and start doing what God called us to do. Either we believe it, or we believe he's the great God healer, great God Jehovah half the time, or he's God all the time. I love this scripture. God directed me to this scripture. Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden to subdue nations before him. Hear me. I like this. This is not just about God healing and God being in charge. But look, he said to subdue nations before him. And this we're frustrated about our nation being in chaos and all. Let me tell you what. God is in charge. Let me pause right there. I'm gonna say something here because I've been frustrated too. Think, oh, this world, this United States, we're in some really serious trouble. And I've seen a lot of posts and I'm frustrated. You know how many times I have written posts and erased them? And matter of fact, I've actually written a few posts, posted them, and then deleted them this week because I thought, you know what, Hill? You either believe God's in charge or you just putting a lot of stock in what men have to say. You think for one moment that God is not in charge and he's put all this authority in men's hands and men's going to get the glory. You think for 1 second that that's going to happen? I'm going to tell you, let me read this scripture. He said, I have the power. I'm the Lord of the anointed. I have the right and the authority to subdue nations before him. And I will loose the loins of kings. I control life. I don't want to get into an anatomy class here, but he said, I loose the loins of kings. In other words, I can bind them and I can loose them. I control it. In other words, he controls life to open before him the two leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. When men try to shut them, they can't shut them. It's impossible because God's in charge. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of irons. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places. And thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. That's awesome. As much power as he has. He still knows us by name. Then he went on to say, for Jacob, my servant's sake, and Israel, mine elect, I have even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the going from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord and there is none else. He says, I form the light. I create darkness. I make peace. Hear me. This is going to go. This is Bible. This is God talking. He said, I make peace and I create evil. Didn't mean he made evil things happen. He created evil. All power belongs to God. Every bit of power and authority that the devil has, it's God-given power, but it's misused. God's in control. I mean, anything that hell does, he has to go to God for permission. Just like when he wanted Job, he targeted Job. He said, I want to kill him. Job doesn't love you based on personal relationship. He only loves you because he has things. He said that if he didn't have things, he wouldn't love you. And God said, you know what? I'm going to let you do this. I'm going to let you do that. But you can't do this and you can't do that. You're a pawn. So any situation in your life as a child of Jesus Christ, anything that the devil has ever unleashed on you has only been let by God to make you better and make you stronger. Any sickness, any disease that's ever come, it's there. Your enemy wasn't designed to take you down. It was designed to push you into your destiny. Since I form the light and I create the darkness, I make peace and I create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Do it all. Hear me. That was Isaiah 45. I love that scripture. So he's in charge and he can do whatever he wants to. And so as a person, I get frustrated sometimes when I prayed and I prayed for this to happen. I prayed for this one to get healed and it didn't happen. I sit back and I got angry about it. And it's so easy for us to forget that he's simply sovereign. He's in charge and he knows what's best. You know what? When my friend, one of my closest friends, Johnny McInnes, his father was a pastor in Southern Illinois. And I practically lived at their house. And I loved that man. Brother John McInnes was in a car accident in Mount Vernon, Illinois, a pastor, an apostolic pastor that preached the truth, baptized people in Jesus' name, had people filled with the Holy Ghost in his church. He preached the truth and he was killed in a car accident. And I asked the question, why? I don't understand. God, why would you leave the wicked? Why would you let the wicked prosper? Why would you heal this one? And take this one. Now, I remember at his funeral, his father, C.L. McInnes, stood in the podium and he walks up and he checked his watch. Never forget it. He checked his watch. He looked at the obituary at his time of death. He said, as such and such, 2 or 3 o'clock or whatever it was, when John McInnes died, he said, I can now take my son off of my prayer list. You got to think about that for a minute. He said, because for 50-something years, however old Brother John was, he said, I prayed for him and worried about him. But now I don't have to worry. Take him off my prayer list. And so when he said that, I realized that God cares more. And I'm not making any excuse. I'm just telling you, sometimes when God doesn't, this is how we have to look at things. Hear me. He cares more about your eternal soul than he does your temporal flesh. The scripture that says that it says that that he would rather you enter into heaven maimed than you split the gates of hell open and have it all together and be whole and be wealthy and rich and be happy. He would rather you go to heaven maimed. That tells me he cares more about you and I's eternity than he does the time that we live on this earth. But he's still a healer. With all that said, he is a healer. Isaiah gave us the prophecy in present tense. Hear me. Before it ever happened, he said, we are healed with his stripes. In other words, when Isaiah saw the events of Isaiah 53 unfolding, he saw it in the present time to himself. This is even more remarkable since these events would not occur for hundreds of years into the future. Nevertheless, Isaiah saw prophetic events that were so real to him that they were recorded by him as it was happening at that very moment. Isaiah 53 and 5 says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. That happened. He said those words hundreds of years before Jesus ever took the stripes on his back. And then when Peter, the apostle Peter, came on the scene, he remembers Isaiah's prophecy. He remembered that Isaiah saw it in the present to himself, but Peter knew that what Isaiah saw was still in existence. 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. So that tells me that this, that every healing that you'll ever receive in the future has already taken place in the spirit world in the past. Miracles. There are miracles, signs, and wonders all around us. Can't see them. You say, well, that's crazy. I can't see. Anybody, do you know how Wi-Fi works? Can you see those Wi-Fi frequencies? Look down at your phone, you realize that you have Wi-Fi. You can't see that. Just like you can see that. There are miracle signs and wonders all around us. But what we have to do is we have to align ourselves into heaven and get in the position to receive what Jesus has already done. You know my favorite scripture. And I'll repeat it over and over. When the Bible says that the Lamb was slain even before the foundation of the world. What he did was he said, I'm going to make a way before you need it. Wait, I know you. Oh, I understand that you're going to get a doctor's statement on such and such date. So he pauses before he hung the sun, moon, and stars. He said, you know what? I'm going to step into the oracles of time and I'm going to take the stripes on my back. And then I'm going to walk back. And then when it happens in real time, I've already been in your tomorrow. And I'll already have miracle signs and wonders that are going to be there waiting on you. I know I can get into some deep. I lay in bed at night sometimes and I don't go to sleep for 4 and 5 hours thinking about crazy things like this. Oh, I can talk about this stuff all day long. He is a God of every dispensation of time. That's why I can, Brother Jonathan, that's why we can trust him. See, every other god that these people serve, whether they're just made up figment of someone's imagination or some idol that somebody's built that they pray to every day, and they pray to Mother Mary, and there's one place, the Vatican, where they kissed the foot of Peter so much that they literally kissed it off. They're praying to dead gods. While they're doing that, we have a God, which his name is Jesus, by the way, that knows our every need and is there waiting on us before we ever need it. He already knows what we need before we ever ask. He even taught us how to pray. And I've lost where I'm going, but he taught us how to pray. He said, when you pray, pray like this. And he gave an example. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Hear me. Let's use a little common sense. On earth as it's already done in heaven. So there are things that he has already took place in heaven that he is waiting for us to align on the earth so he can give it to us. Because he can't give healings until we are ready for it. And that is why we got to get a relationship right with Jesus Christ. That is why we got to crucify our flesh through prayer and through fasting and through reading the Word of God. Then we can receive spiritual things. I'm not even near done, but this is what I want to ask. Here's what I'm going to ask. As if I said anything to build anybody's faith tonight, this is what I'm going to ask. I know she's not our daughter, but Sister Sheese has a daughter that got a doctor's report today that said she will only make it for 6 months. Her text, I tried to call her. You know, she can't hardly hear. And on the phone, I was trying to call her and talk to her. I couldn't talk to her. I tried to call her back and couldn't get her. And in her text, you could see the urgency. And I thought, you know, I don't have a daughter, but I have three boys. I'm not going to tell you which one I left out. Well, I always mess up, don't I? I don't think I've ever preached or taught without but this is what I want. I want everybody to stand. I want everybody to stand. And I'm not going to go into much detail about Sister Shisa's family. Because if this ever got back to them, I would ever want them to be embarrassed. So I'm going to say this. They were raised in church and they were raised apostolic. And I 100% believe with everything inside of me that God can take that tumor and that cancer out of her body. Who else believes that? Hundred percent. We preach about it. We sing about it. We talk about it. And now we're going to pray it into existence. And this is what I want. She's not here. And if you want the social distance and you don't want to come up here, that's fine. But I'm going to ask our elders and anybody else that wants to come up here, and we're going to stand around this call. Matter of fact, I want to do two things. I want Sister Donna to take one too, because I'm not just talking about healing due to sickness or disease here tonight. I'm talking about healing in other aspects. There's something I got to get this out of here. Can you get me? We're going to deal with yours. You know, God can take care of whatever right now. He already what? He already healed cancer, didn't he? You know what? I'm not going to correct you. It wasn't your cancer, was it? He just healed the cancer in your body. And so we're going to, at the same time, thank you, sir. At the same time, we're going to pray for Sister Sheese. I'll take this to her home. Personally, and I'm telling you, I don't want you to come up here unless you 100% believe that God is going to do it. Now, I didn't say that. I know most believe that God can. I know He can, but I'm just going to tell you, God's going to. Children, three Hebrew boys said God can, but then they turn around and said, if God doesn't. That seems like a contradiction of prayer and faith, doesn't it? But that scripture in the Bible, it says, I believe, but forgive mine unbelief. Listen to me. There's nothing there. I know the human mindset is the first inclination is to doubt. And so I want you to stand in for Sister Sheese, and we're going to anoint these cloths right here. In Jesus' name, I want us to pray right now in the name of Jesus that the devil, his hand of affliction would be taken away. Miracle signs and wonders right now in Jesus' name. Come on, I want you to pray right now. Come on, speak with the Lord right now. Hallelujah. By the authority and the power of the Holy Ghost. By the power and the authority of your word right now in Jesus' name. I command this cancer to die from the root. In the name of Jesus. This young lady is Sister Sheesa's daughter. and I take dominion over every power of sickness and disease. In the name of Jesus, that your will be done. That I don't get any glory, but Jesus gets the glory. And the doctors can't say, we did it, the chemo didn't do it. But only by the power of the blood of Jesus. I speak authority right now in Jesus' name. And Sister Donna's life in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. 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 I pray right now for Brother Floyd's body. In the name of Jesus. If you're listening to me, Brother Floyd, I pray for your body. In Jesus' name. By the power and the authority of the Holy Ghost. I command that kidney right now to take life. And do what God built that thing to do. In the name of Jesus, I pray for Brother Lenning right now by the power and the authority of the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus, let healing virtue begin to flow right now in Jesus' name. I know it's a Wednesday night, but the power of Jesus is here tonight, and His power and His healing power is here tonight. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Well, I don't know about you, but I feel peace right now. And I feel faith that's been built here right now. Some of the greatest miracles that's ever taken place. Lightning didn't come. Lightning didn't strike. You know, a lot of times we're looking for some visual thing to take place. But just as still as Jesus' voice is many times when He speaks to us, His healing power begins to move through. And hear me. And this is something I didn't get through, and maybe I will go on to talk about. There is a vast difference between miracles and healings. Anybody ever had a scab that was ever healed or a burn that was ever healed? It didn't take place just like that, did it? It healed, didn't it? And that scab was itchy and irritating and frustrating. It didn't happen overnight. Sometimes, if it doesn't happen right now, we go, oh, and we start losing faith. We don't see the results. That's why Jesus said not to walk by faith, walk by sight, but walk by faith. When we walk by sight, we're basing our faith by the evidence of things that we've seen. Faith is the substance of things not seen. And so if it's seen, if we can see, it's not faith. And so tonight we're going to walk by faith and know it's going to happen. I'm telling you, I believe that we are going to receive an amazing, amazing report. In Jesus' name. Real quick, I know we got it. Go ahead, hon. You just stood, you know, I don't think there's any coincidence that you just stood in for Sister. Well, you know what? Take that. I don't think it's a coincidence that you came up and stood up for Sister Sheese. All right. So I think, you know, when my dad got the Holy Ghost, he had been, and I've shared this story with the church before, but there's others that hadn't heard it. When dad was prayed for and received the Holy Ghost, there's no other explanation. When he was a kid, he had double pneumonia, and he had lost one of his kidney or his lungs. He had coughed so hard when he got home. One of his lungs, he coughed it up in the sink. You remember that happening, Dad, when he was 4 years old? But you got, okay, so it was 8 years old, and it came out, and they said at the hospital, the Barnes Hospital, that he had one lung. They took the rest of the lung out. When he was 21, when you received the Holy Ghost, and 23, I'm getting it all messed up. I just leave the details out. 23 years old, he went up to, he got the Holy Ghost, but when he went to the doctor to get x-rays, he saw the two shadows in the x-rays. He asked the doctor, he said, what happened? What happened there? What is those shadows? The doctor said, those are your kidneys. Good Lord. Those are your lungs. I got kidneys on the brain. I'm going to tell you. I don't believe. Hear me. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. I say that's an accident, but I've got kidney. I'm telling you, God is going to heal the kidneys and the lungs. So he went. He didn't come up to get prayed for his lungs. He came up to get prayed for because his back hurt. He got the Holy Ghost. God touched his back and gave him a new lung. When he went to the doctor, what did the doctor tell you? The lungs don't grow back. You know, they don't grow back. So there's only one explanation for that, Brother Lenny, that God literally, as he gave Dad the Holy Ghost, he just went ahead and gave him a lung. So while we prayed for Sister Sheese, God's healing your kidneys. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed in Jesus' name. Touch someone. Tell them in Jesus' name. Pray for them as they leave. Bless you in Jesus' name.